Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, because nobody's going to steal them. You're welcome along to the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. Our podcast is available for download on all major platforms. Is that correct?
Very well said. Yeah. Well done.
Very well said.
Very professional. I used to record some ads on Midwest Radio and you'd have to go into ad mode, you know. Welcome to Carmel's Fashions in Ballina. Sale now on.
Like, I'd love to do an ad for, say, a drink, like an alcoholic drink. I'd have no problem doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have no problem doing an ad for, say, toilet paper or for tea or for coffee, you know.
That jocks. I love jocks. I love good quality. Yeah, underpants. Jocks. Underpants.
That's the thing you don't hear a lot of ads for, underpants.
Yeah, well, maybe we could do that, do an ad for underpants.
Cars. Imagine if...
No,
it was
No,
not for a car. Jimmy Faulkner Motors. Jimmy Faulkner, Monster Evan, County Kildare, for all your motoring needs. Isuzu, Pajero, BMW. What?
Jesus, you've got ears blown.
Jimmy Faulkner Motors, Monster Evan.
Get back from the microphone when you're shouting. You've no microphone technique at all.
051-715-976. Jimmy Faulkner. JimmyFaulkner.com. Were the levels high on that?
You could shout and go back.
Yeah, or you could
just talk into it.
Jimmy Faulkner Motors! Monster Evan! Isuzu! Pajero! Have a car, we'll scrap it. Have a fucking... No, that's the ads we should do. We should do local ads
Farming
for local.
Ads. Like Sheep Dip or something.
John Mahan! Piping and valve fitting!
Back!
My pipes, valves and fittings. John Mahan, for all your pipes, valves and wavin pipes.
My brother's a plumber. You could do... So.
Somebody. Sheila Cassidy, nail bar. Sheila Cassidy, nail bar. Ballina, Ballin robe. Bell mullet. Sheila Cassidy, your number one home for nails. In Mayo.
Your number one home for nails.
Problem with your jacks? John Flaherty Rodding Services. Remember your father saying, get out here and help me with the sticks and rod this fucking toilet.
Rod.
We'll solve the problem. John Flaherty Rodding.
Isn't that really good? Sheila Flaherty's the home of nails.
Home of nails. Yeah, we could work on that.
They're the ads we should make.
Sheila.
And anyone who wants to sponsor the show can sponsor them.
I did a car trip with my 13-year-old daughter. It was up and down to Dublin yesterday. And she was in charge of the music. Well, after 2 hours, I had to beg her to stop. Just the emotion. Everything was about emotions. I couldn't cope with the level of emotion in it. Like if my young fella, if one of the boys was playing music, there'd be a bit of kind of arrogance and a bit of kind of posturing and I'm a legend and I have loads of money type music.
Yeah. You know that?
But when the young ones are in charge of it, my goodness, it's all heartbreak. And there's a lot of songs about young ones wearing fellas t-shirts.
Is there?
A load of them. And the vast majority of songs I was listening to were written by their male performers. Isn't that interesting?
Who was? What sort of music
what
was
do
it?
You mean?
All this kind of Dermot Kennedy, he's the only name I can know, Macklemore. I can't remember the name. There are names I'd never really heard of. They're the only two that I recognise, but very emotional music, just all about
love and
love and I miss you and this is the end for me. I can't go on without you and you're give us back my t-shirt and just big, big. But I noticed after I was the far side of Kinnegad gone up and I said, Jesus.
A lot of problems.
A lot of emotion.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember talking to a woman one time about what people do when they break up from other people and they're going through that experience. And she was saying to me that what women do is they'll watch sad movies. They'll watch The Notebook and or just as what you do.
Eat ice cream.
But what you do is you choose, you don't run away from the emotion. You almost bask in it. Mm-hmm. So if you've had a sad breakup with somebody, then you choose to watch really, really sad films and you cry it out and you watch it 10 times and you're crying and you're crying and you're crying and then you're at the far side of it. Where she was saying, I was saying, I couldn't handle that at all. And she said, that's the difference. If men go through that, they don't want to watch sad films. They watch Friday Night Lights or Jaws. You know, something.
Jaws.
Do you know what I mean? Just yes. Something.
Aggressive.
Not to be thinking about it. And she said she thought that was the problem with men. That we don't get into the emotions. We'd rather kind of relegate them to the side and watch a film about football or man-eating sharks rather than a sad film about emotion. Would that register with you?
Well, maybe it's the men that do all the heartbreaking, so they mightn't actually be sad. You know, it might be the man. It's generally the man that
has caused
the problem. So generally they aren't sad when the breakup happens.
That's it. Generally it's the men that cause the problem.
That cause the breakup.
Really?
Is there statistics to...
No, maybe not. It's probably wrong of me to generalise, but...
Have you... So in terms of looking back on your...
I've been very fortunate. I've never been in a situation where I've been devastated by a breakup.
Okay. But have you broken it off with fellas ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, maybe, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm not really like, maybe...
How about your sisters and your friends then?
Yeah, so any breakups they've had has nearly been the man's fault.
Fault, interesting choice of words there, not decision.
Yes, because they've cheated on them or they've,
yeah,
you know.
Again, that's a cultural perception of sexual act cheating.
Yes, a culture, it's run that line by me again.
I've forgotten it now.
It sounded very good. But you see, that's what, yeah.
Is there a notion amongst women that you, no matter how... Whatever phase the relationship is going through, you just deal with it and you move on. That no relationship is perfect.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
The commitment to the relationship rather than the qualities in the relationship.
Yeah, I think so. And like, wow.
Whereas men would be, it's the quality of the relationship, not necessarily the commitment to it. How am I feeling in this
environment?
In this duo. And if I'm feeling good, then great. If I'm not feeling good, do I need to get out of here? Whereas, are you saying with women, it's if I'm not feeling good, how do we change that?
Oh, well, let's fix it.
Let's fix it.
Are you listening to me?
It's generally the men's fault. Generally.
I'm getting an edge off her. Are you, Hector?
I'm feeling that there's...
Look,
as we say, this podcast is... Just open up, Louisa, and tell us. Go on.
No, I'm just saying, though, that's generally it's the men that cause the problems in relationships.
There's no statistics to...
I bet there is. I bet you they just haven't...
Do you think it's 70-30? 70% men creating the heartbreak and the tears.
Yeah.
In a relationship.
And I think even if they're not responsible for the actual breakup, they're responsible for the like it might be the woman that does the breakup, but because of the man's actions, generally.
What about the man being...
This is a very unforgiving zone we've entered into here.
What about the man being sad about the breakup?
They're not sad. Men, as Tommy said there, they deal with it differently. Like, they won't admit to it being sad. Like, they'll just move on and just...
And what about all these fellas singing songs about young ones wearing their t-shirts and missing
them? They know that the audience is a young girl that's going to be listening to the song, so they're going to write it, like.
A lot of Ed Sheeran songs, in fairness, seem to come from the same type of...
So I'd say it's a generic... I'd say you put a load of words into an algorithm now and it comes up with a song.
Yeah.
What's that joke about country about country music? If you play it backwards, you get your dog back, your wife back, your house back. All country music as well.
I'm just fascinated by that thing of you think it's mostly men's fault.
Well, they cause a lot of problems.
Is that what your female friends, have they all had their hearts broken by men? When they thought that this was the one, he's the one for me.
Yeah.
This is it now.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
Anyone that I know that was in long-term relationships and they broke up, it was
the fella
to do with the fella.
And
generally they were cheating.
But does the fella have the right, do men have the right to be unhappy?
No. Yes. I'm sorry. Of course they have. Yes, they have. But why can't? This is, again, you see, they have a problem with just confronting the issue and saying, I'm not happy. Men like, I know a fella who was getting married, right? Mm. And he knew the morning he was getting married that he shouldn't have got married.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's like, okay, okay. And then he's thinking, oh, everyone's going to be in the church now. And
yeah.
Oh, I'm as well to just go through with it.
Yeah.
Why, like, if that was a woman, she just wouldn't do it because practically she would say, no, this is a bad idea. So he got married for about 6 years. And for the entire 6 years, he said, oh, I was just unhappy. I didn't, but like, big deal.
He
like,
didn't want to let people down on the day.
Yeah.
Maybe there was pressure from
sometimes,
his partner,
yes,
to get married, and he just wanted to make her, he thought that making her happy would make him happy.
Yeah, but
and he realised it didn't.
It was not going to. So again, then he turns out to be the big monster because he did what he did. But if he actually just said the first day, I don't want this,
yeah,
then it wouldn't have been such a big...
Yeah, but maybe he didn't want to hurt anybody.
But sure, he's going to hurt you. You're going to get hurt eventually.
Yeah, but he tried to make a better life for everyone and build a house. He built a house that he provided for the kids.
Did they have children?
They didn't have any
But
children.
They got a house and she got half a house out of it.
But so what? Is that it? Like,
and a good day and a nice day.
And a good day out for the parish.
Good day out.
And the wedding was great, crack.
Well, there you
and
go.
And 6 years, well, there was six,
6 years.
6 years
of unhappiness. It's a small price to pay for a good day out.
That's over 1,800 days. 1,800 days.
Yeah, but
I think he made a massive sacrifice. 1,800 days to make her happy. He says, there you go, my work is done, good luck.
Yeah. But then it ends up being bitter and everyone's cross.
Sure, yeah.
There's no, it's a very, yeah. He couldn't. He couldn't let down the families the day of the wedding. He couldn't let down the parish. Couldn't let down the hotel. Couldn't let down the uncles and aunties who had all got new dresses and suits.
Yeah.
So he stuck at it.
I like the sound of him already.
He stuck at it and he's the old dog for the hard road.
Yeah.
He put in 6 long years. And
he
then
cut the lawn at that house every single Saturday morning.
And the bushes and the whole lot. But another thing is, it's normally the woman that puts the pressure on for a wedding, isn't it? Is it? Is that another generalisation I'm making? You know...
Well, I suppose it might come up in women's consciousness a minute before a man's. But I don't know. I don't know about that now.
I don't know, Loretta. I think there's plenty of women out there that would break a heart in two, like snap.
Oh, yeah.
And they've broken men's
hearts.
We are. Beneath it all, there is an awful lot of emotion in men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just hard to find.
If you can find it, though, Tommy, it's in deep under the...
An archaeological dig to find it.
No, not at all. All you have to do is play soccer in slow motion.
Or say, do you want to watch this new thing on Netflix with Eric Cantona?
That'll men be crying over that.
Just after dinner.
Yeah.
People often say to me, like, what was your most emotional day of your life? Has your children been born? That was phenomenal. Getting married, that was just out of this world. But it's very hard to top the camera panning across the 15 Irish rugby players the day we were playing in England in Croke Park.
Tears.
Really?
From the
bull haze. Did you see the bull?
Yeah.
And he grabbed his side of me, bawling, crying.
Oh, yeah.
And then the camera had to pan up to Shane Horgan because he was 7 foot tall.
That was unbelievable. That's, I mean...
But the bull haze crying.
The bull haze crying.
My young lad Rat walked in at that particular moment. Shane was only about 3 or 4. And he comes in and I'm bawling in the sitting room. And he goes out to his mother. He goes, what's wrong? What's wrong, man? Dad's crying in the sitting room. He's bawling. Is he all right? And she's there cooking the dinner. Yeah, it's sport. You'll... Great moments.
That was just a lot of men would, looking back in their lives now, would say that was even bigger.
So sporting moments.
That was probably even bigger than their own mother dying. The bull is crying against England above and Croke Park.
And he grabbed them like he grabbed.
These are my best friends.
Oh, I love you. This is England in Croke Park, and you remember the soldiers coming in and shooting all the innocent bystanders. We're going to kill them. We're going to kill the England.
No wonder they won that game 44-13. Shane Horgan scored a try in that match. He majestically pops it up into the air. Oh, God, Horgan came down like all the Republican blood dripping on him and Fenian blood. On the... Yeah, but like there's certain moments.
I mean, children are born every day of the week. Like,
that was just phenomenal.
So you'd be emotional souls then, would you? Do when it comes to sport, obviously.
Yeah,
Sport. Totally emotional. When I see Ruby Walsh coming down the top of the hill in Cheltenham, and he pulling double on a really well fancied horse, and he can hardly hold him, and he's just going where they're going. Let him go, Ruby. Let him go. Open him up now, Ruby, and ride him home. And let him fucking jump the last in Cheltenham with 100,000 paddies above in the stand. Yeah!
Hi, Ruby!
Hi, Ruby! Ruby! And the fucking racing posts up in the air and points up in the air. Ah!
Hi, Ireland!
Hi, Ireland! Ruby, what's he up in? He up in the stirrups. Ah! Oh, Lord, never you've been Birmingham Airport 2 days later crying with the hangovers. Ruby! And Barry Garrett, that's what we are. We're simple. Yeah.
But that's abstract emotion. You know, that's not like personal. You know, that's fine to be sad about that stuff because you don't.
That's not sad. Overwhelmed.
Ecstasy.
But tears bring it a bit closer to home, like if you have any emotion.
Yeah, I think there's great moments in relationships. Like when I get the lawn cut, and I look in the window, and Tipna looks out. And I can smell the dinner and she's cooking it.
And she can smell the grass.
Because I've cooked it the day before and I'll walk in. And then it's just great moments of shared love. That's and I'll say, do you see that grass? Isn't it lovely? Look at the cut of that.
Is that what you mean, Louisa? Is that the type of emotion you're looking for? Is that when like a man comes in after cutting
the
lawn?
No, but you were talking about... I get
a fella to cut my lawn now. So,
don't have that emotion?
No, I'd look out the window with my wife. God, that's amazing.
They'd hug each other at the sink and look out at your man cutting the lawn.
Isn't he doing a great job?
Feel the emotion of that.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Is that what you're after?
No, because you started off talking about what we were talking about.
Is it like an ad for a bank, Larissa, where you see a couple and they're after getting the mortgage together? Yeah, is that what you mean by emotion?
Can I ask the question here?
No, I'm saying that you are not, like, you don't, like, confront your, not you two, but men, like, wouldn't confront their, like, my example of that fella just getting married for the sake of it instead of dealing with it.
But we've dealt with that in a sense, Louisa, and we said that he paid for the day out and he gave everybody great memories.
35,000 he paid the hotel in cash.
And he put 6 years of hard graft into it. So that man has nothing to apologise for.
No, but if he just confronted the issue at the start, like... Would
why did he break her heart? Why did he break her heart?
Exactly.
I'm sure there's issues all over the place.
Is it like a male or female thing, or is it just a personal thing? Like people are like that. Do you know what I mean? Can you generalize men? Can you generalize women? Is it just a personal thing?
No, I tell you what I find now. Say just in terms of gender generalization. Do you remember your one, Kathy, the Australian one, the Aboriginal girl? What was her name? The athlete.
Oh. She won an Olympic gold.
Yeah, she won the 400 metres.
Yes.
And she dressed up in this. I cry when
she dressed up in?
She had a special kind of one-piece running suit.
Yes.
I cried when I saw that. She was the first Aboriginal athlete to ever win a medal. That's emotional, and that's me watching a woman. Is that what you mean by...
No, that's, again, not emotional. Like, that's not, like, personalised stuff. That's something on the television.
I was watching it far away.
I'm talking about in your life, in your circle of life.
But you're right, I was watching it. I was the one watching it. So that's me watching it. I was watching it.
No, but you don't know her.
And that makes it all the more amazing that a woman I don't know from a country I don't know, from a tribal society that I don't know.
And as a cause, why did you get so emotional? Because she was wearing a one-piece suit, like,
no,
because
it's the achievement of it, the achievement of an Aboriginal woman winning a gold medal at the Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia.
An amazing moment.
I'm lost, phenomenal. I don't know what you're talking about.
And did you start crying when you saw, say, when you hear You'll Never Walk Alone being sung by 110,000 people in
Melbourne? Didn't. never.
Oh,
cried.
Jesus. The Bull Hayes, no. That would make you cry? No.
What about Mayo coming out onto that pitch? Lee
I
Keegan.
Did cry a few times after they lost the All-Ireland.
Now you see, now. You do have emotions.
But
you
they're
do
Mayo,
have
they're my people, like.
Yes, so let it out.
Let it out, you're emotional. Don't be saying, you're just hoarding your emotions for just
There's
private.
Only a couple of moments in our lives where real tears and will come out, Larita. The real tears we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Maybe I need to be a bit more emotional.
Just share,
then.
You know.
Maybe I'll be a bit more
keeping,
open then.
Keeping your emotions in just for private situations to me is almost an abuse of the fact that you have emotions.
What, you should just burst out crying?
No, you should save them for public occasions like horse racing and rugby and soccer and athletics. And then don't be burdening other people with your emotions.
Right.
Like I've said to my father, I said to my father one time, I was 14 or 15, I was going through a hard time, and he said, "Tom, I wouldn't be great at the emotions."
So just leave it off.
So just leave it there. And I said, fair enough.
That's the end of that.
I wasn't good at emotions either with my father.
Do you know what I mean? No, but I, and he said, go out there and go for a ride on that girl's bicycle. That might cop onto yourself.
And buy us, bring us back a loaf of bread.
I never, ever forget the day I sat my father. I said, tonight's a big night, Dad. Channel 4 is starting. And he said,
was emotional.
And we sat together on the couch and at 12 o'clock in, on whatever day, in the middle of the 80s, Channel 4 started at 12 o'clock on a Friday night. And me and my father sat on the couch in the kitchen in Navan. And I said, we're going to watch this movie. And he says, is this a good station? I said, yeah, there's a movie on it now called Scum. And we watched Scum.
With Ray Winston Bain, fellas with iron bars.
And we watched Scum together. And about 26 minutes into it then, there was a lad being bent over a shower. Or no, in the greenhouse. He was potting plants. And two lads came in and closed the door of the greenhouse. And I'm about 14, sitting with me dad. And next minute, your man was potting. You could see his face. He wasn't potting. He was
being planted.
He was... And I said to me, Dad, it's a good old movie, Dad, isn't it? To sit there for the whole of Scum. Oh. Great channel 4.
And your father said nothing during the...
No, we just didn't say much during that. Next meeting.
During the rapes.
He wouldn't have turned it off and put on something else. No?
Great movie, Scum.
That was back in the days where we had to change channel with your finger.
Oh, yeah.
So it was easier to leave the anal rape scene on rather than get him off the chair.
And 2 minutes later, the boys are playing pool. Your man puts 6 pool balls into a sock. Goes down and bends it off another fella. And I'm sitting there in the middle of Nav and my father on a Saturday night going, this is a great movie, Dad.
See, that's emotion.
Scum.
Larissa, that's emotion. That's seeing a fella being
yes,
raped.
That was the first ever movie on Channel 4.
In a greenhouse. It's emotional.
Ray Winston.
Right, okay.
Right, well, all right.
I found a film last night. I'm gone mad watching films that have subtitles from Denmark and Iceland.
Oh, the best.
Jeez,
yeah.
I found one last night called Men and Chicken. Chickens. Chickens and Men. It was the most disturbing film I've ever watched.
Where did you go to this? On Netflix?
I think it might have been on...
Men and
no,
Chickens.
No, it wasn't on Netflix. I don't know, was it on Sky Cinema or something? Anyway, I...
Give us a go of it.
This was I woke up this morning thinking about it. I turned it off midway through, like a good, I'd say 20 minutes left. It was absolutely fucked up, right?
What was going on?
From the get-go.
What was going on?
The first scene was the father dies. No, this man dies in the hospital. And the son has this impediment where he keeps going, right? And I'm like, is he going to
is
vomit?
Is this foreign language?
Yes. He keeps going like as if he's going to vomit. And the father dies in the bed. The next thing, there's a video left in the hospital room and he rings the brother who has, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but the brother has an obsession with wanking himself. Anyway, so he's there on a date with this woman who's in a wheelchair and she's a psychotherapist and he's telling her his problems. And the next thing he goes to the toilet and he's at himself in the bathroom, cubicle. And the brother rings and he
says, "That's emotion.
Dad is dead." And he come to the hospital now. Next thing, there's a video. Yeah, he's at that all the time. And there's a video they watch. They go home to your man's apartment and they watch the video and the video is hilarious. The video, the father puts on the camera and as the father goes to sit down in the chair, when he sits in the chair, all you can see is his underpants, right? Not his face. And he says, in Danish, lads, I'm not your real father. And you're not, you don't have the same mother as you do. And your real father is X. And then the next thing, a game show takes over the recording of it. And it's mental. It's this island off Denmark called Orf or something, or Ork. Or so they'd get this boat down to this island. And the next thing, they get to the house. It used to be a sanitarium. Yes. They're all like bred weirdly. They all have hair lips.
What time of the day were you watching this?
I was watching it last night. And there's a load of ducks that have been bred with pigs. And there's a big prize bull in one of the rooms. And there's one lad who's about 25 stone. There's another lad, his nose is actually not formed. There's a turkey that has the feet of, as hooves.
A turkey horse.
Turkey horse. Turkey horse. And then this absolute moron of a brother goes,
get me the director quick.
You want to, he brings him in, I don't know what language that was, he brings him into a room full of chickens and he says to the two brothers that have come to find their father, if you're looking for a woman, basically, these chickens will do until the women come. It was it was called a dark comedy. It was a psychological nightmare.
You can't bet Netflix, can you?
It wasn't on Netflix. I recommend you watch it. Watch it. It's called either Men and Chickens or Chickens and Men.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Where did you watch the Italia 90?
Can't remember.
Where did you watch Italia 90, Tommy?
I was on the verge of becoming a Redemptorist priest, so I watched it in the retreat centre in Clunmore.
What?
Huh?
Can we discuss that now?
I just stop recording there.
Will we discuss this now, or would you like to save that to later?
No. Let's go on. I want to follow Hector's thread of thought.
Here. We can come back to that. But I watched it. We were living, myself and the brother, we were sharing a house, right? We were sharing a house in Dublin. Now, my habitats in Dublin changed rapidly over the years I lived there. I started off living in Cabra Park in a little bedsit, number 58 Cabra Park.
On your own?
No, myself and my brother in a bedsit. It was so small. We shared a double bed, right? The two boys up from Navan. It was so
small. You shared
it, and
how old were you?
17, 18 or 19.
See, my brother repeated the leaving three times, so I caught up with him. So I was in second year when Freddie did the leaving, Tommy, and I think he repeated it three times before we finally got to Dublin.
You were in second year when he did it.
Well, first time. Can I just say, by the way,
what was he aiming for?
I don't know. What were we all aiming for? You fill out my CEO. Yeah, I fill out yours. You fill out mine. And that's the way we were. So I was 16 doing my leaving cert, believe it or not. I was 17 on the 17th of August and I had my Trinity ID. We were living in 58 Cabra Park. I swear, the the cupboard, you open the cupboard and you had this tiny little two-ring cooker, and then you had a little tiny sink, and there was a communal toilet on the landing. And there was always...
But you know, Bother G had a communal bed.
Yeah. So.
There was always that imperial leather bit of soap. Do you know, that old stuck to the thing, and Yardley, there was always a Yardley bottle.
I just can't get over yourself and your brother sharing the bed in your late teens. Like, and would you be legs be touching off each other and don't be touching me? And
I'm going to tell you one thing about sharing a bed.
That wouldn't be weird, would it? For
Listen,
boys?
No, not for brothers. We didn't think...
Yes, it would be weird for anybody.
We were coming from Navan, and we were just happy to be in Dublin because we realised what it was all about. We realised what the power of Furstenberg. That's all we cared for.
That alcohol.
Furstenberg beer was the big beer at the time, and snake bites. We would mix 50-50 cider in, and we'd have all the boys over. So anyway, sleeping together in
the
bed.
How did you work out if one of you got lucky?
One of us took the couch in the
beside the bed.
Which was in the same room. Like.
It was in the cooker.
I'll tell you a good one about getting into bed with my brother.
Where are we going, right?
We came back from the local nightclub in Navan, and we had a lot of beer on. We were back from Diamonds. I don't know what time of the morning it was. We were belubas. And it was a Saturday night in Navan. And you know what we were doing in the middle of the winter? it was so cold. We'd put on the electric blanket before we go to the nightclub. Because by the time we get back, it'd be about 9 hours later, it'd be roasting, so we'd have to walk home past the Tinkers and the Greyhounds. And we'd get into the bed. And
was this in Navan as well?
Yes, in my house.
You shared a bed in Navan
This one particular night, I was too drunk to, I don't know what happened. But anyway, I got into bed with my brother because I didn't want to make noise in the other part of the house. Because it's like, you're not creeping around the house at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Steamed.
The last thing you want to do is wake your mother.
Yes, yeah.
What's that noise? I closed that door. We'd be coming in the door. It'd be like CSI Miami and FBI and fingerprints, and then finally got into the bed. Now, we are astocious. Helicopters. Ossified. And then we'd be taking off the jeans and the smell of drink, and we both got into the bed, and it was lovely. It was, oh Lord, the two was just be quiet now, we're safe. And we left the electric blanket on.
Oh Lord, save.
That was about 7 o'clock. This is about 5 o'clock in the morning. The heat, it was like getting into Mount Etna. It was like getting into a volcano. But you know what happened then? We were so bananas. At about 8 o'clock in the morning, I was all sweating and everything. The electric blanket was still on. And didn't I feel a little hand rubbing me leg, the inside of my leg, and I thought I was dreaming. So I said, this is one of the best dreams I've ever had. And I said, my brother was dreaming as well, but he was rubbing the inside of me leg. And then his hand was moving up a little bit closer and closer. And then I jumped out of bed and went, what the hell? And I jumped up and I went, what are you at? What are you at? He goes, oh. And then I just got out of the room, went into my own bed. Wow. I went out of the room. We were so ossified, and the heat of the electric blanket and the dreams, it was utopia.
But tell us about sharing a bed in Dublin.
Sorry.
How long did that go on for?
Just probably that first year.
Did the incident in Navan not put you off sharing a bed with them? No.
The best one ever. I've so many stories about living in Dublin, but we were in Cabra Park. Then we went to Ockham Street in Stonybatter. Then we moved over to Rathmines, Grosvenor Road. Then we started, my brother got a job. He failed college, I failed college. Then we moved out to Blackrock Main Street over the chip shop. You know, Blackrock is a fork in the road. We lived over the main street, over the chipper there. Then we moved to Glenageary, Glengarra Park. Then we moved to Watson Road, Killiney. Now, there was a nurse there. She
shared the bed with you too.
She had this rugby player of a boyfriend. She used to come in on a Thursday night, and they'd go upstairs at about 7 in the evening, and they'd go at it. And me and Freddie, they'd be pretty loud now. Pretty loud.
Bouncy,
like,
bouncy.
It'd be like, it was like being in a scrum. And sometimes me and Freddie used to stand on the kitchen table and put the glass up to the roof and listen to them to try and get the stereo sound. And one time they were so loud, we had to have dishcloths in our mouth to stop ourselves laughing, because you could hear everything. Like, it was like being watching a porn movie but without the pictures,
right?
But yeah,
so like listening to a porn movie.
Listen to a porn movie. Radio. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the Graduate pub was less than half a mile from where we watched from us, so we watched Italian 1990 there. And I'll never forget, it was during Italian 90 that we came back to Watson Road. My brother was going out with a girl from Killiney. And I'll never forget this. At about 8 o'clock in the morning, one of the mornings, and we were all lying in the bed, not together, but all in our rooms. And there was a knock on the door.
Sure.
And it was her brother. And he was going bonkers at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I went down and opened the door and he went, "We're after winning the fucking lottery." I says, "What?"
Jesus.
He says, "We're after winning the lottery." I said, "What the fuck?" He says, "Yeah, I have a ticket in my pocket that's after winning the national lottery." Freddie's girlfriend's
brother.
Brother of the family had just won the lottery. And we were there, the two boys, me and me jocks, with me brother. It was a great story.
The brother, so the family
won. The family just won the lottery, yeah.
How much?
A million and a half back in 1989.
And did they have a party that you were invited to or anything like that?
I don't know what happened after that. We went drinking for the day, but great stories, wow. Great memories. But it reminded me of Italia 1990 and Jack Charlton.
I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, I started drinking whiskey every night.
Every night?
Every single night. Like I would, if I was doing a gig in a hotel after the gig, I find it, I can't really go down to the bar after a show because I just get, what I want to do is unwind then. But often in the bar of the hotel where you've done the show, there's lots of people from the show. So it's kind of the same, you know, and it can be good crack if you're up for it, you know. And people get possessive of you, you know. I was in a hotel in Carlingford, the Four Seasons in Carlingford. I said to them, "I is twinned with the Four Seasons." "No, not the four. Not, we're twinned with the one in Monaghan." And I came down, and I was walking from the lift into the bar, and there's people from the show hanging around, and so, Tommy, give us a selfie, will you? And I said, "I'm just going to grab a pint. I'll be back with you." "Ah, hope you fucking choke on it." So people can get a bit kind of possessive or something. So anyway, I'd get drink delivered up to the room, you know. If we're staying the night in the hotel, and often, Jesus, like I'm after being the height of crack. You know, I'm after being the circus master here of this room full of, and you're after creating a wonderful energy. Mm-hmm. You could be 800 people laughing and they're all kind of G'd up, you know. And at 5 minutes after the show was finished, they're bouncing around the hotel, in the foyer, hopping into cars, driving to a pub in town, into the bar in the hotel, swilling like, full of good energies. On the edge of the bed, in me boxer shorts, like, just looking at me feet. Drinking.
On your own.
Drinking.
A bottle of whiskey.
Drinking, and what happens, I'd have ordered a pint, but by the time I get out of the shower, shirts
flat.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Just sitting there going, "This is no crack." Or else I'd drive home, and I could be driving home from Monaghan back to Galway through the night. Oh, geez, I love it. I love Ireland at night. The countryside relaxes in a way that it doesn't during the day. It's like the fields can exhale. The animals can just be easy in themselves because they know the humans are out of the picture for the next 8 or 9 hours. There's a deep breathing in the countryside. If you put your ear to it, you can hear the fields breathing from their diaphragm. Do you know, it's just beautiful. So I might have a 2 or 3 hour drive after a show and I get home and everyone in the house would be asleep, you know. And I'd pour myself a tremendous glass of whiskey. Like, absolutely. You could be...
copious.
I could go through, like, is 2 bottles of whiskey a week a lot to go through?
I don't know.
It would be a fair whack of it.
So, anyway, and...
in 7 days, like...
That's how long is a week in Mayo?
In the whole week, I'm wondering, or would it be the weekend?
The weeks are probably 10... You'd probably do Tuesday 2 or 3 times in Mayo.
Like the sound of the whiskey... glushing off the bottom of the glass.
It's just a beautiful drink. It's just a beautiful way of heading into sleepy
and
time.
And turn on the electric blanket.
No, just float on that.
And how many of them would you have then?
I would have 2 maybe tremendous ones.
Irish whiskey.
I've tried the Scottish stuff, and I tell the Japanese do good whiskey. The Japanese,
they've been making ever it for a long
since.
Time.
Ever now, why wouldn't they? Ever since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the Japanese got the fucking fright of their lives,
They've been trying to do everything American. Have you noticed that? Mm. They've been trying to become more American than the Americans themselves, because they think if they align themselves culturally to the United States, there's less of a chance of all of a sudden the sky exploding and everybody being dead. But anyway, I was, so for 3 or 4 years at least, been drinking tremendous amounts of whiskey. And during the COVID, then I was kind of, I was steamed most nights going to bed. I was steamed.
What is this?
So I decided I'll stop now. So I stopped drinking the whiskey about a month ago. Then the wife comes back from Centra with a bottle of whiskey for me. And I think it's bad manners once somebody has spent the money. It's bad manners not to drink it.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck now. I'll be another 4 days before I'm clean again. So I spent the 4 days drinking the bottle of whiskey. I was relieved when I got to the end of it. But these fucking... So we had relations down yesterday.
Right.
And I've been on the dry for 2 days. The relations arrived down yesterday. Days.
What did they bring?
A bottle of fucking Jameson. I'll be another... I'll be another.
So you'll have to go at it again now.
I'll be another 3 days on the lock. Now,
what is the feel? Because I can drink one or two, Tommy, and the small ones. But what's the feeling with the copious glasses of whiskey? Where is the body and the mind going? Because I like my lager.
Yeah.
Tell me about the world of whiskey after two big, it's just big glasses.
Because your body is sober, but your mind is drunk,
sedated nearly almost.
Do you know what I mean? Like your
but it's
mind.
It's not a drunk where you're going to go out and party afterwards.
When you get into an argument with someone.
Thick. Thick.
Yeah, so it's better if I'd find it's better not to drink whiskey in company.
Well, you're doing the right thing.
So I find it better to drink on my own. Guinness is a great social drink. To me, Guinness encourages conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're the same for lager, are you? What would be your tip?
I'd prefer Guinness if I was having a Guinness or a lager.
Yeah, it's kind of, it encourages chat.
It does
it?
After about three or four, then you don't really mind what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the whiskey just makes you silent. What increases... what I find increases in Guinness is are the words coming out your mouth.
Right.
You become more flamboyant.
Yes.
Right. Whiskey all turns that down entirely, and it turns up your interior monologue. So what happens in whiskey is you might have 4 or 5 glasses in you and you're not saying anything, but inside in your mind, you're shouting at someone. Usually the person in the same room as you, but you're not saying anything. So it's a tough drink. But I remember back then, back in Italia 90, I was the only sober man in the country, probably. So I feel as if I missed out on the drunkenness of it.
Tommy's father was an agricultural officer for Teagasc.
Yeah.
Artificial insemination was a big thing when we were 13. You're having
the
laugh.
I know. I used to love when
tell
the
us about your father used to travel around the bovine.
My father was around the farms of Navan and Mead, giving advice to farmers. You know, and
how to breed their bulls.
Just. Advice on grass, advice on livestock, advice on helped them get grants and stuff like that.
Yeah, Teagasc
Life or stuff like that. But for a few years now, when I was 7, 8, 9, I thought my father had the strangest job in the world. There was a case of ringworm in the house, and I got it. Now, for those of you who don't know ringworm, it's a kind of a circle of dots that appear on your foot. That are awful.
Or your
itchy.
Arm.
Or your arm or your hand.
I got it recently.
I got it on the ankle.
Right. A ring. It's a nasty infestation. It's a rash.
It's a bad dose. And I was brought to the doctor. And the doctor was trying to figure out where I might have got it. You know? And he says to my mother, the doctor says to my mother,
He says to her then. Were you din at this stage?
I was in the din in the
were
doctor's.
Were you din? Where were you? And were you doubt? Were your father's or your father's doubt?
The father was at work.
Was he a doubt?
And I was in beside... My mother listened to the doctor, and he said to her, in Kevin's job, that's my father's name now, does he lean on gates? And Helen, my mother, said, he does. And nothing more was kind of said.
Oh.
And that's what I thought my father did.
Leaned on gates.
I thought my father left the house every morning, went around Meath, just leaning on gates. And I thought, what a fucking legend.
What, Greg?
A fucking job. He leaves the house at a 8:15 every morning, and he goes out to Dundery or Kilmaston. And he fucking leans up against the gate,
and
then maybe around 11:30
goes another.
He has another gate he has to go to, and he goes off to Slane. He leans on the gate there till after lunch, and then he might get one more in before he has to
get another gate in around 4:30,
and then he
comes back to that. I'm sick to he says,
he's all in, I'm
fucking bet. I'm bet.
But those.
Ringworm.
Did you cure it? Did they cure it?
Oh, it eventually went away. I got another dose for them when I was in boarding school.
How did you get there?
In Garbally. I don't know.
You were mixing.
But they're awful cruel in boarding school. So one fella got a bell, and every time I started coming, he'd fucking ding-a-ling on the bell like I was a leper.
Did you get ringworm recently?
Yeah, I got
Tell
it recently.
About
I
it.
Don't know how. I wasn't really mixing on the farm, but I obviously...
It's still prevalent, isn't it? It's still prevalent to this day in Irish farming.
Yeah.
Were you leaning on gates?
Yes, I was leaning on...
Were you?
I must have been, yeah.
Were you in a shed where livestock was held?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where you can touch off the wall there or whatever.
Just touch off the cow and get it.
You know, they talk about pandemics and traceability and stuff. Ringworm has been there for hundreds of years.
We've a cow at the minute and she's kilt. She's kilt. The teats are ripped off her. Sucking. The calves of her sucked dry.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Sucked blood. There's blood coming
dother,
out now.
Dother is
dother
the
is
dot. So she's lacked. She's been sucked at the minute.
Yeah.
Now, is she sucked 12 months of the year?
No, she'd not only be sucked when the calves would be small.
The Waylands.
So for
Waylands wouldn't suck her, just a newborn calf for a couple of months.
But would the, what do you call them, the Waylandings?
Waylandings would be a bit bigger now.
Six
be,
month old, would it be?
Yeah.
And they get their milk from?
They don't need milk then.
They just
drink water and silage.
Where did that
silage
word come from, Larita? Waylanding,
Waylanding. No. Well, up north, the Waylands.
The Waylands, yeah.
The
Waylandings, yeah.
So I was going to ask you, so a cow that's been milked from dairy produce.
Oh yeah, that'd be milked like by a machine.
Yeah, how is she milked 12 months of the year, 8 months of the
oh,
year?
Oh, she'd be milked, yeah.
Frisians,
like.
That awful cruel.
I don't know now, so could be wrong, but they're milked all the time.
But
isn't it, from
a woman's point of view, isn't that kind of cruel? It's unnatural.
As in dairy?
Yeah, it's unnatural to be sucked for that long. It is unnatural. Anyway, but...
Yeah, I suppose.
Why are your particular cows hurting so much?
What age is she?
She's young enough, but she be maybe...
She pedigree?
Yeah, Fiona's her name.
Of course. Does she know that?
She's a big lady. She's a big girl.
Right, tell us about
big
Fiona.
Big boned lady. Big
swinging
high
her
arsener.
Hole from one side
big,
of the...
Big high arsener. In fact, I thought she was sucking herself the other day when I looked out the window.
Will I give you a sound of...
She'd be Hector's colouring now.
No, this is a squally calf, a scoury calf looking for feeding. That's a scoury calf that needs a little bit.
A bit higher up though, a bit more.
No.
That's a lamb.
No, I used to get it. Get it. No, that's like I'm in
That'll
trouble
be.
In an epic.
That's like Larita Blues.
I used to be able to do a calf sound.
No, I can't do it. Give us a calf
sound.
That's a ram. That's a ram ready to be castrated.
I used to be able to do a great
with the horn on him.
We never put our hands to our mouths anymore to do sounds, do
no,
we?
No, I can't do it. Anyway,
That's a sheep.
No, you're too sheepy. You're too low. You need to go higher up.
So, what about this? What about a cow about 7 o'clock in the evening and the cow just goes... Do you know when they do that little happy thing?
No, I don't think they do.
What the fuck?
That's you after having a big Swiss roll.
Oh yeah, what? That's the one in the distance. I love when they start talking to each other.
Oh yeah, roared.
Yeah, I love that.
When you take the calf off the mother, they go wild.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
go back
one.
To Fiona anyway. She's
anyway,
pedigree.
Fiona
is
after.
Is she ginger?
She's like you, yeah. She's your colouring, and she.
She's your colouring. It's great honour.
I didn't know you got kind of red-headed cows.
Pedigree. She's Charlie.
She's cemental. No, she's a Charlie.
She's a Charlie.
And she's produced a couple of fine. Bucks like good,
lovely,
strong bulls,
good.
But she has. They're all cut. Like,
what?
They're all cut.
Would you have a little poultice you could put on the tits?
Pseudo cream
works. Does it work? Yeah,
yeah.
Of course it works.
She's sucking it off. But she's sucking it herself.
She's in pain. Can you not leave her off for a while? Can you not leave her off?
But what can you leave her? Leave her where? Like,
no, can you not leave the calves?
Oh yeah,
off
they're off her now, yeah. But because she's all She couldn't suck on that.
And you find she's looking at you, giving you the eye, and she says, I'm in pain, can you help me?
Yeah, but she wouldn't, yeah.
Is there any antibiotic you can get for that?
Or you probably can, but she'd probably heal up, you know.
Terrible pain there.
We tough used to have to put that Vaseline stuff on it. What do you call it? I can't remember it now.
Vaseline?
No, it was Vaseline for cows. It was like, we used to have to rub it on after to be all chapped.
Like, an industrial agricultural cream.
Yeah, they didn't like that. But she likes the Suda cream for some reason.
That's what I like. Do you listen to this? That's them in a far distant field and they're sort of communicating. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's pissed off. That's a pissed off bullock.
That's a motorbike passing you out.
No, I used to be able to do a really squally calf. What about scour? How is scour these days? Scour, isn't that a great word?
They normally get that when they're starting the milk off.
Yeah, yeah, those scoury arse.
Yeah. Apparently somebody was telling me when a foal gets scour, you know the mother is ready to be
I was at the ploughing
championships. She's ready to go again.
When the foal gets scour.
Yeah, wow. She's in season.
I was at the ploughing championships there a couple of years ago and I was doing a thing for a horse race in Ireland. We're in a horse racing tent doing all the chats and there's loads of lads standing there, all different breeds and nationalities and farmers and kids and fathers and sons and the father with all the whole Massey Ferguson one piece jumpsuit and the kids all in the Massey Ferguson one piece jumpsuit. They all had farmers' friends, those sticks they use, and they were all at the ploughing. Everyone was in great form. And there was a little lad, and I swear to God, he was the image of his father. Dressed like him, act like him, had the gawk of his father, had the cap on. I said, is there any farmers around here? And where all the hands go up, this little 7-year-old comes up. He goes, I'm a farmer. I says, who's with you? My father. I says, what are you doing? Oh, we're here to buy a combine. So up he comes and we have a little chat on the stage. And I said, I'm going to test your knowledge now to see if you're a real farmer.
Yeah.
And I said to him, right, I have a question for you. What would you give a scoury calf? And he said, a good brute up the hole. And the place cracked up and I said, you're a good young farmer, boy.
That's about it from us today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've enjoyed the Tommy and Hector podcast with
Larissa Blewett.
Talk to you soon.
Everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.